Hello and welcome to Real News on this Tuesday night. I am going to start from Monday and go over the very first day of what happened in the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell case. Actually, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial started Monday, for those who do not know. And for the people that don't know, Ghislaine Maxwell was the girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein. So I'm going to go down everything that happened on the very first day, which was yesterday. So despite no direct video coverage of the courtroom available due to federal case regulations, the Southern District New York Courthouse was packed for the initial proceedings on Monday and opening statements of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Maxwell is accused of participating in deceased power broker Jeffrey Epstein's international child sex trafficking operation with heavy implications, facing a slew of related charges, including two counts of conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, two counts of transportation of a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, one count of sex trafficking a minor, one count of sex trafficking conspiracy, two counts of perjury in efforts to conceal her and Jeffrey Epstein's efforts, demonstrated by a pattern of dishonesty while under oath. Second count, which was just recently added, that's not present on initial rap sheet. Matthew Russell Lee of Inner City Press provides a visual outside of the courthouse that whole day, showing journalists ready to be funneled into crowded overflow rooms and preparing to report on a federal sex trafficking trial with global implications. Ian Maxwell, the brother of Ghislaine, attempted to frame a defense narrative for his sister in an interview with the Associated Press. Ian expressed attitudes that minimize the seriousness of his sister's crimes, claiming the trial is overhyped and misdirected at her. Although he fails to explain anything in specifics, how she is innocent, and instead proclaims her innocence with no reference of any evidence whatsoever. A complete cover-up, folks. This is what he said to the media. This is designed to break her. I can't see any other way to read it, and she will not be broken because she believes completely in her innocence, and she is going to give the best account she can. Despite her brother's claims, Ghislaine Maxwell has an alleged history of providing false statements to legal officials to conceal her involvement in Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. This highlights the importance of drawing attention to patterns of perjury and dishonesty in a court of law, displayed by Ghislaine and conspirators in pursuit of favorable outcomes. According to the mainstream media, several accusers have described Maxwell as being worse than Epstein, more involved with sex trafficking, especially recruiting underage girls for abuse. But her family insists she's taking the fall for Jeffrey Epstein's crimes, citing no evidence to their statement. Epstein's victim, Jennifer Arrows, provided a statement to CBS News on Monday. She said, "It was a huge web, a big enterprise, and I want everybody who was involved to face their day in court and have justice done." Jury challenge and examinations has occupied the trial's initial proceedings. One juror, described as working in private equity, was excused due to his self-reported prior discussions with work colleagues and opinions about this case. Juror 87 has been excused after saying he had conversations with work contacts who had expressed strong opinions about the case. He said that he had been unable to cut them off. Judge Nathan has asked the jurors if they had read, seen, heard, or researched anything about the case during the holiday recess, and if there is any reason that they cannot be a fair and impartial jury. One juror, number 87, who works for a private equity firm, had expressed doubts. Jurors are currently being held in two separate courtrooms and have been addressed separately. So, on Monday, the opening statement was from Assistant U.S. Attorney Lara Pomerantz. She details the high society status of Epstein and Ghislaine, alongside graphic details regarding Ghislaine Maxwell's vital role with this child sex trafficking network. This is what she said. There were times she was in the room when it happened. That is why we are here today. Between 1994 and 2004, the defendant sexually exploited young girls. She preyed on them and served them up to be sexually abused for Jeffrey Epstein. She was trafficking kids for sex. He owned a ranch in New Mexico, an apartment in Paris, a mansion in Manhattan, Palm Beach, a private island. Epstein had private planes and pilots. The defendant got to enjoy that luxury right along with Epstein. The defendant was the lady of the house. She imposed the rules. Employees were to hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing. There was a culture of silence. That was by design by Ghislaine Maxwell. The defendant's design. To get the girls to touch Epstein, they used the cover of massage. The defendant massaged Epstein, then told the girls to do it. Epstein brought girls into his massage room every single day. It was sexual abuse. Before I describe these so-called massages, the prosecutor says, let me say these are facts. Epstein touched the teenage girls with equipment. He sometimes penetrated the girls. The defendant helped Epstein find those girls for so-called massages. They lured their victims with a promise of a brighter future. Then they destroyed their lives. So, what happened to Jane? You will hear from her. Someone from Epstein's office invited her to Epstein's house. He told her mother he was offering a scholarship. Jane was 14, just a kid. Epstein was in his early 40s, the defendant in her early 30s. Jane traveled to New York to Epstein's mansion where he abused her. She was not the only one. The prosecutor went on, you will learn about multiple girls during the course of this trial. You will learn about a 16-year-old girl who traveled to the ranch in New Mexico. The defendant told the girl she was going to give her a massage, but she touched her elsewhere. The girl was 16 years old. There was a 17-year-old spotted in the parking lot. The driver pulled over. Ghislaine Maxwell seen putting on her glasses and jots down notes while this prosecutor speaks. They moved beyond scholarship and moved on to a pyramid scheme of abuse. They encouraged girls to bring other girls for extra cash. The defendant knew exactly what she was doing. That's what we expect the evidence will show. You'll hear about a fund that paid millions to the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, but you will learn that these victims would have paid anything to have this not have happened to them. You will hear from relatives. You will hear from staff members. You'll see massage tables, a schoolgirl's outfit. You'll see other records, flight logs showing the names of some of Jeffrey Epstein's victims. At the end, we will speak again. Until then, pay attention. Follow Judge Nathan's instructions and use your common sense. You will reach the only verdict possible that Ghislaine Maxwell is guilty. Then, Bobby Sternum of Maxwell's defense team started an opening statement with references of feminine persecution. In an aim to shift focus away from Ghislaine's actions, her lawyer emphasized the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein, suggesting he was a master manipulator that Ghislaine also fell victim to. Her defense team then proceeded to praise the dead pedophile's positive traits and appearance, claiming Jeffrey Epstein radiated a halo effect. What the fuck, man? That's crazy. This was followed by wild assertions which failed to demonstrate through reference of evidence that attempted to state the victim's only motivations were monetary, preposterously claiming that every single victim has been primed by public servants to seek unreasonable reparations. This is her defense team's opening statement. Epstein will be mentioned throughout the trial, he said. He is the elephant in the room. He is consuming this entire courtroom and the overflow courtrooms. You are not here to judge Epstein, however. You are here to determine if Ghislaine Maxwell committed these crimes. Epstein had many positive traits, attractiveness. He radiated what's called a halo effect. Ghislaine Maxwell became his employee to administer his real estate like small boutique hotels. Like many New Yorkers, he wintered in Palm Beach. Throughout the course of Stern's opening statement, the prosecution objected on three separate occasions, challenging his presented to the jury as a fact. Although Sternum may aim to discredit accusers, he has failed to suggest the details of Maxwell's innocence, providing no explanation regarding her participation in Epstein's operation, as he claims it's against her will, but with no facts. Initial proceedings suggest the defense is focusing on favorable selected conjecture, stirring the jury's imagination and aiming to establish an alternate narrative to that which is not supported by any evidence whatsoever. It is hard to discern anything of significant substance presented by Maxwell's defense team in response to prosecution's opening statements. Rather, a specific emphasis placed on priming the jury to be open to high-level suggestion and deflection is their game. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to deflect because there's over-mounting evidence that shows that Ghislaine Maxwell is guilty of these crimes. And that is my take on that, folks. Anyway, the first day's proceedings concluded with the first witness testimony of the trial. Former Epstein employee and pilot Larry Viskovsky is the first witness that has been brought forth by the prosecution. Viskovsky was asked about and confirmed that he'd been hired by Epstein in Ohio, along with an individual by the name of David Rogers, and worked for Epstein in New York, picking up luggage and installing video equipment. Viskovsky also confirmed that he flew to Epstein's private planes out of Teterboro Airport initially, then later flying out of JFK and Newark airports due to larger aircraft infrastructure. So that's what went on on the first day. And I'm going to keep you informed on the second day is going to be my next episode. And I'm just going to keep following up with this and keeping everyone in the loop, because this is not being broadcast live for anybody to see. And that's because they don't really want you to know what I'm telling you. So until next time, thanks for listening. And if this is your first time listening, please hit the follow button. Follow me, like my page, and share it with your friends. Let people know about my podcast. And if you have any comments or suggestions at all, you can reach me on email at realnewsocala@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.